I am Public Investor 12-03894, found in bad faith for telling truths Wall Street once covered up. I prefer being called six-pack Sally swinging at low-hanging fruit on Wall Street. Over the course of 9 years after the Securities and Exchange Commission asked me to be their investment client whistleblower, a victim of Don J. Bennett, the Hoodoo investment advisor was found guilty on all 17 counts as charged. I've become a voice for investment clients and a voice for the good investment advisors. Picking up from where we left off, why would someone risk everything they have worked for? Why? Why would someone knowingly, with intent, taint the agency they are sworn to? Why? 1963 is 50 years ago. 50 years before Bernard Madoff turned himself into law enforcement, 2008. On camera, while the world watched, what was not billed as the biggest Ponzi scam ever. Do the victim math. Number of VICs times 50 years. The victim losses globally is staggering if you do the math. The firm Bernard L. Madoff Investment Securities, LLC, SEC number 8-8132, previously known as Bernard L. Madoff, was licensed by the Securities and Exchange Commission January 19, 1960. Brother Peter was Senior Manager Compliance Officer June 1969, 5% ownership. Quite the trick when namesake Brother Bernard, the director, sole owner, member, principal, 75% ownership, January 2001. Wall Street, FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, and the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, are magical when it comes to math. Just ask an economist. Oh, don't. Economists consistently tell me, I didn't know that. I do. Madoff Securities International Limited, located in London across the pond on Berkeley Street in London, was effective December 31st, 1998. Bernie, owner, 30.8% of the London Stock Exchange member company. COMAT is not even listed by FINRA BrokerCheck on Bernie's page. Bernie and COMAD were in business 1995. MADF, as FINRA BrokerCheck names Bernie's list, monetary fines failing to display customer limit orders. AWC, without admitting or denying allegations, and censure, usually cash, monetary fines that went into the FINRA Financial Industry Regulatory Authority and SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission slush funds, not back to investment client victims. Harry Markopoulos patted himself overtime on the back at hearings both sides of the Hill in each committee room that played before the cameras to be part of that public Madoff moment of bringing home the enemy's head atop the spear. Concerns of improper conduct surrounded Markopoulos. Harry got chummy with Inspector General Kotz, United States Postal Service Inspector General David C. Williams, conducted an independent review outside, questioning Kotz's work on the Madoff investigation. Because Kotz was a very good friend, with Markopoulos, the beginning of which was not determined but problematic if timing took place while Kautz was investigating Madoff. How big was Madoff's crime? What do you think? BMIS Bernard L. Madoff Investment Securities, LLC, Madoff Securities International Limited, Madoff International, COMAD. Madoff had secrets around the world. London, Massachusetts even. Just like with Hoodoo investment advisor Don Bennett, nothing stopped Madoff, even cops and courts. Don Bennett copped burner phones. March 12, 2009, Madoff pled guilty to all charges. A month earlier, news reported Madoff settled the Securities and Exchange Commission's civil suit against him, accepting a lifetime ban from the Securities and Exchange Commission. Madoff paid an undisclosed fine, news reported. Madoff made a deposit into the SEC's slush fund. As for the civil suit, fast forward 2018. Lucia versus SEC. Supreme Court of the United States determined, opined, the Securities and Exchange ALJ Administrative Law Court was unconstitutional. Madoff lied. Madoff said his scam started in the 1990s. No, 1960s, courtesy of family tradition taught by Dad and Mom, Ralph and Sylvia. 1974, November 19, the Nevada regulator decisioned a $25 monetary sanction against Madoff's company, not Madoff personally. Sanction details say in fine in the amount of $25. No other information is available due to the age of the complaint. Docket case number N-NV-86 was initiated by the NASD, National Association of Securities Dealers, on November 22, 1974. November 8, 1963. Bernie's firm, not Bernard Madoff, was censured a monetary fine of $500, a regulator final in the amount of $500 and assessed costs of the proceedings in the amount of $60.65. The fines and costs of the proceedings were paid in full November 19. 1963. Bernard's explanation, the firm's explanation, was the finding of a violation of NASD Rule 2230 was limited to a technical infraction. August 27, 2008. Madoff's firm was censured a monetary fine of $25,000 without admitting or denying the findings. The regulator alleged NASD Rules 8211, 8213, Bernard L. Madoff Investment Securities, LLC, failed to report accurate trading information through the submission of electronic blue sheets in response to FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, requests for such information. The firm failed to include the short sale indicator for electronic blue sheet records. Docket case 2005 800-502-508-102. Failing to report accurate trading information is something police, law enforcement should be figuring out. Cops, that is what cops do. That is not what enforcement does. This is what people covering up crimes do. December 11th, 2008. Bernard Madoff was formally arrested. I want Bernard to tell the rest of the story Bernard went to prison alone for, with all the wrong information in the biopics, the books, the made-for-TV movies on the Bernard Madoff story. I want Bernie to support my getting this crime cartel exposure. So right, they did what they could to silence me. The truth shall set you free. John 8:32. I keep telling the truth. I keep telling the truth. Bernard Madoff deposited client cash into his business account at Chase Manhattan Bank. False trading activities covered up by foreign transfers, fake securities and exchange returns, claiming a unique split-strike conversion strategy. J.P. Morgan Chase was formed in 2000 when Chase Manhattan Corporation merged with J.P. Morgan and Company. As of 2017, J.P. Morgan Chase Bank is one of the largest asset management companies in the world. U.S. $2.789 trillion in assets under management. 30 U.S. trillion in assets under custody. U.S. trillion in assets under custody. And U.S. $47.7 billion in assets under management. The hedge fund unit of J.P. Morgan Chase is the fourth largest hedge fund in the country. Hedge funds are not regulated by the Securities and Exchange Commission. No one regulates hedge funds. Jeffrey Epstein ran a hedge fund. Martin Shkreli ran a hedge fund. A hedge fund hedges market risk. Hedge funds skirt direct regulatory oversight, bypass licensing requirements applicable to investment companies, and operate with greater under the radar than mutual funds and other investment funds. Hoodoo investment advisor Don Bennett knew from Bennett's and Western's lawyers, promissory notes must be rolled over or cashed out in 90 days to avoid becoming securities under the oversight of the Securities and Exchange Commission. Investment client victims learned too late. Lawyers who represent securities broker-dealer firms and investment clients have a conflict of interest, a skill at gaming the law for the very people investment clients sue, cash whores with allegiance to deeper pockets as investment client victims are slowly learning, not wanting to believe they were scammed twice. The criminal, the lawyer. Heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. Tuesday, January 7th, 2014. The DOJ, Department of Justice, announced its DPA, Deferred Prosecution Agreement with J.P. Morgan. Charges to be deferred for 2 years under an agreement requiring J.P. Morgan to admit its conduct, pay $1.7 billion to victims of Madoff's fraud, and to reform its anti-money laundering policies. Preet Bharara, the United States Attorney for the Southern District of New York, announced the criminal charges against J.P. Morgan Chase Bank N.A., short-naming the defendant J.P. Morgan or the bank. Preet Bharara did not clarify the bank or J.P. Morgan to be J.P. Morgan Securities Broker Dealer Firm. Preet Bharara did not clarify the bank or J.P. Morgan to be J.P. Morgan Investment Advisory Services or J.P. Morgan Holding Company or any other of J.P. Morgan's iterations. There is a big deal. Each J.P. Morgan company is its own company unto itself, structured to allow money flow back and forth and between to spread accountability to minimize J.P. Morgan liability. This is the way of Wall Street before Madoff and to this day. This is what I want Bernard Madoff to go deep on. Preet Bharara was wrong when Bharara said, fortunately, with today's resolutions, the bank has accepted responsibility and agreed to continue reforming its anti-money laundering practices. Most importantly, the victims of Bernard Madoff's epic fraud are $1.7 billion closer to being made whole. Bahar's dollar amount was predicated on tampered documents fed by the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, and FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, curated from documents removed without cops. Law enforcement, knowing crimes for decades were taking place. Why, when I met Preet Bharara and Bharara's team, they knew about the red asterisks, the red numbers on the tampered with fake statements, RBC, Royal Bank of Canada's attorney Caroline Guy sent to me via the U.S. mails, altered by a J.P. Morgan Vice President of Global Money Transfer, Brian Gash, within 2 weeks of my FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, claim RBC, Royal Bank of Canada, took into FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, for addressing. Bahara and his team had no idea even that Bernard Madoff's crimes went back to the 1960s, or that Madoff's crimes were learned at Madoff's parents' dinner table. Sylvia and Ralph, themselves criminals. The SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, and NASD, National Association of Securities Dealers, now FINRA, that they wagged a tail at, did little other than. Preet Bharara, in Preet's grandstanding, the Department of Justice charges insisted of two felony violations of the Bank Secrecy Act in connection with the bank's relationship with Bernard L. Madoff Investment Securities, short-named Madoff Securities. Preet said nothing about COMAD or Madoff's other known firms. The unknown Madoff firms are still worrisome. Hoodoo investment advisor Don Bennett had more than 500-plus business names, online identities, domain names not named by the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, or by FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. Bennett created names as easily as people change their minds in underwear. three more names popped up during trial itself. Cinnamon Sticks, Province of the Dragon, Candy Cane City. Now, multiply those 500 names times each state Bennett was conducting criminal business in, and domestic and international. The imaginable numbers of unknown victims is staggering. Multiply that times Madoff's known company names domestically and internationally. Now multiply that times each and every other investment advisor victimizer, called a broker, for the sole purpose of taking crimes away from cops into FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, arbitration forum where data is curated, controlled, buried, destroyed, not released. The unknown numbers make you just want to hold your babies at night and cry. As of 2018, J.P. Morgan Chase was ranked sixth largest bank in the world by S&P Global. Total assets to the amount of $2.35 trillion, the world's most valuable bank by market capitalization. At this 2014 presser, FBI Assistant Director in Charge George Venizelos said, J.P. Morgan failed to carry out its legal obligations while Bernard Madoff built his massive house of cards. Today, J.P. Morgan finds itself criminally charged as a consequence, but it took until after the arrest of Madoff, one of the worst crooks this office has ever seen, for J.P. Morgan to alert authorities to what the world already knew. In order to avoid these types of disasters in the future, we all need to be invested in making our markets safer and more equitable. The FBI cannot do it alone. Traders, compliance officers, analysts, bankers, and executives are the gatekeepers of the financial industry. We need their help protecting our markets. FBI Assistant Director in Charge George Venizelos did not say Commonwealth of Massachusetts securities regulator knew about Madoff's crimes back into 1995. 2005. No. FBI Assistant Director in Charge George Venizelos did not say the only reason his office sees crimes is when the United States government is called in. FBI Assistant Director in Charge George Venizelos did not say anyone from the ground level, man on the street, law enforcement level, let the FBI know of Madoff's crimes. Why? The answer is simple. Wall Street's cartel does not want law enforcement told. Only then, at this presser, did FinCEN, Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, step in. The United States Department of the Treasury, step in. OCC, Office of the Comptroller of the Currency, step in, announcing they too also reached agreements with J.P. Morgan. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, I had been out there for a while, connecting to law enforcement, regulators, legislators, D.C. DSB, District of Columbia, Department of Insurance, Securities and Banking, laying out the dots I was connecting constantly through what I was calling the model of Wall Street crimes going on for decades. Stereo is what I called it. Client victim back to back with Madoff's arrest sandwiched in the middle. A monetary mind blower. These crimes were not stopped decades ago. Papers I brought Preet and his team on RBC, Royal Bank of Canada, Western International Securities, mirroring what Preet put out in Preet's presser that went ignored. Bernie was the flavor of the day. Mention Bernie's names, cameras flashed and popped. To this day, mention hoodoo investment advisor Don Bennett. No media recognition. Mention Brian Urand, the guy that scammed Mike Tyson, Glenn Rice, and Dikembe. No media attention. Mention Oracle of Omaha, Warren Buffett being Ponzi'd to the tune of $347 million. Nothing. People don't want to know. Wall Street's got a good cover-up thing going on until along came Carrie. I went rogue on them. I went guerrilla in my marketing, in my presentation. Preet's Department of Justice press release said, since 1996, J.P. Morgan and its predecessor institutions served as the primary bank through which Madoff ran his Ponzi scheme. Madoff Securities maintained a series of linked checking and brokerage accounts at J.P. Morgan, collectively referred to as the 703 account. Madoff was a client of the bank's broker-dealer banking group, an investment bank group comprised personnel from various business lines that serviced the needs of broker-dealer clients. J.P. Morgan designated a banker as Madoff's relationship manager, who was principally responsible for Madoff's business with the bank, as well as for the bank's first line, BSA responsibilities, including certifying that the Madoff relationship complies with relevant legal and regulatory-based policies, and that the necessary due diligence has been performed. I sent in to Preet's team through my papers, including the email from J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon's office telling me there's no such account numbers existed at J.P. Morgan, telling me there was no 7049 account when there was, with check writing privileges attached to it too. Papers I signed sent to me 2012 by RBC, Royal Bank of Canada, indicated the 7049 numbers did exist, at least on these money transfer papers. And the check. I heard nothing back from Preet. Who cleared Madoff's cash before 1986? Madoff was in business since 1961, in the least. Preet wrote, over the next several months, J.P. Morgan began to have increasing concerns about its exposure to Madoff. And I have a bridge to sell you on the Titanic. J.P. Morgan had concerns over J.P. Morgan's exposure to me. J.P. Morgan shuttered J.P. Morgan Clearing Corporation securities broker-dealer firm and J.P. Morgan Clearing Corporation investment advisory firm 2016 after my demands for copies of the J.P. Morgan Clearing Corporation customer agreement Hoodoo investment advisor Don Bennett gave me to sign November 26, 2009 to become Bennett's client, Barron's number 5 top woman investment advisor 2009 in the country. I never did get back a J.P. Morgan Clearing Corporation contract signed with both of our signatures. I did not, to this day. Preet's statement said money Madoff stole from his customers was being drained. In August 2008, the account held approximately $5.6 billion. But by October 16, 2008, the date of the negative memorandum described above, the balance had fallen to $3.7 billion, a number based upon calculations the Securities and Exchange Commission and FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, fed the U.S. Attorney's Office. The U.S. Attorney's Office client is the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission. Documented in USA versus Don Bennett, the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, and FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, do lie to the U.S. Attorney's Office and the FBI, providing wrong, incorrect information. Documents speak. The U.S. Attorney's Office and FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation, got their case on track eventually, prevailing in court, countering the Securities and Exchange Commission and FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, intentional misinformation. Do the math using the formula. 5.6 billion times 10, most likely even times more. 2009, Judge Denny Chin left Ruth Madoff with $2.5 million the court could claim back at some future date. Future date came. 2019, Irving Picard took cash back from Ruth. Chin said Madoff's crimes were off the charts. Do the math using the formula. Staggering. Judges don't know the wool is being pulled over their eyes by defense counsel. Most judges don't even know the cleanliness of cash being paid to defense counsel, as did USA versus Don Bennett, presiding Judge Paula Zini, questioned as the case matured before Judge Zini's court. Some said Madoff could have had the possibility of a sentence with parole if Bernie cooperated with investigators. Madoff's silence, some said, suggested there were accomplices in the fraud. Chin imposed maximum sentence and $17 billion ordered restitution. Do the math using the formula. $17 billion times 10 in the minimum. Staggering. 9 years later, Madoff's wanting out, commutation. Kim K's felon activities may be Bernie's inspiration. There is a difference between Matthew Charles and Bernard Madoff. Inmate number 61727-054 is wanting out. Answer the million-dollar question. Why? Answer, why? The $1.7 billion penalty J.P. Morgan agreed to pay was non-tax deductible. Madoff's victims lost twice. The taxes Wall Street victims pay on fake profits is non-refundable. The government was told in the 2 years of deferred prosecution, J.P. Morgan violated the DPA agreement. Preet Bharara chose the fake win rather than taking J.P. Morgan on. More so, Preet never took on the Securities and Exchange Commission and FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority. Preet never did. For that, Chris Christie never did either. The date of the response I received from Jamie Dimon's J.P. Morgan's executive office? Friday, January 10th, 2014, at 10:14 a.m. The date I sent my request for information on accounts ending in 7049 and 1326? Preet Bharara letting J.P. Morgan getting back to the business of crime, deferring the DPA. News reported Madoff provided a confidential list of his and his firm's assets to the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, 2008. A list was disclosed on March 13th, 2009, in a court filing. The court list alleges Madoff had no IRAs, no 401k, no KEO plan, no other pension plan, no annuities, no offshore, no Swiss bank accounts listed, owned, less than a combined $200,000 in securities in Lehman Brothers, Morgan Stanley, Fidelity, Bear Stearns, and M&T. No, that's not how it works. How it works is the one hand does not know what the other hand is doing, more so since by the time cops step in, SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, and FINRA, Financial Industry Regulatory Authority lawyers had already stepped into crime scenes, tampered with evidence, documents, witnesses, cleaned up the crime scene to protect whoever needs protecting, to cover up whatever needs covering up, curating the crime to appear compliant to laws Congress writes. Sylvia Madoff, Bernard's mom, was not just the housewife, the daughter of Romanian and Austrian immigrants. Married Ralph, Bernard's dad. Bernard Lawrence Madoff was born April 29, 1938, Queens, New York, to parents Sylvia and Ralph. Sylvia was the mother of a son destined for infamy. Ralph worked a lot of years as a plumber. Sylvia opened her broker-dealer firm. The Securities and Exchange Commission shuttered. Sylvia's Gibraltar, forcibly closed by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission 1960. The firm's address was the Madoff family home in the Laurelton neighborhood of Queens, New York. Bernard Madoff opened his own firm 1961. Born 1938. Do the math. Bernard was 22 when Bernard L. Madoff Investments opened for Monkey Business. Sylvia and Ralph were finger-wagged, admonished by the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, when Bernie was 20. Ruth Madoff married Bernard November 28, 1959. Ruth was 18. Bernard was 21. Rumor has it Ruth and Bernard attempted suicide Christmas Eve 2008. Ambien. Klonopin. Most Jewish people just go out for Chinese or to the movies. Bernard and Ruth woke up Christmas Day. The thing about people who want to kill themselves, they keep on doing it until they succeed, as did victims, the unintended consequences of Madoff's crimes. Ruth was Bernard's bookkeeper. Ruth fascinates me. Women are bloodless when it comes to crime. I was told by the Garda when I was covering international horse racing in Europe. Garda told me if they enter a bank, see a woman, they shoot, no questions asked. Women are tiger moms. August 1963, the Securities and Exchange Commission announced it was instituting proceedings to determine whether 48 broker-dealers, including Sylvia R. Madoff, doing business as Gibraltar Securities, had failed to file reports of their financial conditions, and if so, whether their registrations would be revoked. January 1964, the Securities and Exchange Commission dismissed administrative proceedings against a bunch of those firms, including Madoff's. The deal was standard FINRA and SEC, NASD and FINRA. No penalties if you promise to stay out of business. Clarifying, stay away from securities broker-dealer firms. Open to do any other financial business one could want. The firms conceded the violation. The Securities and Exchange Commission's litigation release noted, but requested withdrawal of their registrations, and in this connection they represented they are no longer engaged in the securities business and do not owe any cash or securities to customers. The commission concluded that the public service would be served by permitting withdrawal and discontinued its proceedings. Despite Sylvia Madoff's SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, registration as a broker-dealer, three high school classmates of Bernard Madoff said they don't recall Sylvia being a stockbroker. I want Madoff to come clean on learning his trade from his dad and his mom. Reason, I would support Bernard Madoff trading down sometime, putting the cartels behind bars, even when applicable, subject to the death penalty now the death penalty is being restored. A young woman was tried for suggesting a troubled young man end his life by his own hand. There is a trail of bodies already lined up. Sylvia Madoff was running a securities business even as her son launched his own in 1960. Another possible explanation is suggested by property records for the Madoff house. Queen's Property records the grantor, mortgagor, listed as Sylvia R. Madoff. But the property had tax liens totaling $13,245.28, about $100,000 in today's dollars, for unpaid federal taxes owed by Ralph Z. Madoff and three other people. The taxes were assessed in 1956, but the lien was not paid off until 1965, when the house was sold, suggesting that the Madoffs were either fighting the tax bill or unable to pay it. Speculation was much of Madoff's monies may be in offshore funds, but of course, Hoodoo investment advisor Don Bennett opened up accounts client cash was fed into, accounts clients did not know about, accounts Bennett and Bennett's cartel used the victim's identity, an industry practice called adopting, something the RBC, Royal Bank of Canada, did too, caught soon before RBC, Royal Bank of Canada, got caught on money laundering. The Securities and Exchange Commission caught in my matters, 2010, Connecticut Attorney General Richard Blumenthal sued Westport National Bank, effectively aiding and abetting Madoff's fraud recovery of $16.2 million and bank fees the bank collected as custodians of customers holding Madoff's investments. The bank denied wrongdoing, but I don't recall hearing yet FINRA, the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, and SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, IVP funds, sued for fees, interest, yet. Irony is, the Innocence Project was partly funded by JET Foundation, Ken and Jean Levy Church's private charity, financed with Madoff's mythical money. Jean Levy Church shuttered the foundation of hers and her parents, the Betty and Norman F. Levy Foundation. JEH helped the less fortunate, especially ex-convicts, which is what Madoff now wants to be. The Securities and Exchange Commission's Inspector General internal investigation into the agency's failures released a 477-page report on how the Securities and Exchange Commission ineffective efforts missed those red flags and identities repeated opportunities for SEC Securities and Exchange Commission examiners to find fraud and to uncover the schemes to find fraud and to uncover the scheme despite a series of red flags and tips. September 2009, 8 Securities and Exchange employees were disciplined, none fired. The Securities and Exchange Commission missed red flags. The Securities and Exchange Commission pays attention to tips, it says. Tips are supposed to be SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission roadmaps to covering crimes. January 7th, 2014, news reported J.P. Morgan Chase, where Madoff kept the bank account at the center of his fraud, would sign a DPA, Deferred Payment Agreement, pay a settlement of $1.7 billion, resolving 2 felony charges for violating the Bank Secrecy Act. J.P. Morgan Chase admitted to filing failures of SARs, suspicious activity reports, after red flags about Madoff were raised, which prosecutors alleged did not have adequate money laundering compliance procedures in place. January 2014, Jamie Dimon's J.P. Morgan office confirmed I had no accounts at J.P. Morgan, as alleged on faked statements provided to me by RBC, Royal Bank of Canada, Minnesota-based lawyer Carolyn Guy. 2015, DOJ was notified by RBC and notified about Don Bennett, the Hoodoo investment advisor. Claim Bennett customers benefited with BGFS, Bennett Group Financial Services, accounts held at J.P. Morgan, the industry gold standard, as Bennett new client pitches called it. Erica O'Brien over at J.P. Morgan's Bear Arm wrote repeatedly, J.P. Morgan's client was Western International Securities, the broker, that Bennett Group Financial Services was a Western International Securities agent. J.P. Morgan signed clearing agreements directly with the Bennett victims. J.P. Morgan Clearing Corp client agreements. Clearing agreements make no mention of Bennett or Western anywhere. J.P. Morgan closed J.P. Morgan Clearing Corp down. Closed down J.P. Morgan Clearing Corp securities broker-dealer firm. closed down J.P. Morgan investment advisory firm 2016. For the record, SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission employees can be sued. None were, it seems. So what will Kim K. do when Bernard Madoff asks her for help? I know what I will do if Bernie gives me what I want, what I ask. Federal Judge Polizzini calls this remorse. Same deal I offered the hoodoo investment advisor Don Bennett. Remorse. I offer Bernard remorse. Takers, anyone? Please visit our websites, www.centerforcopyrightintegrity.com and www.thewallstreetwhistleblowers.com. Please, LinkedIn. Everyone knows at least one other person a victim of Wall Street crime. We can lift this matter together into politics forefront where it should be. You work too hard for someone you thought was a friend to live the life you never dreamed of off your time invested and your dime earned. Share our podcast. Share your papers. I want to see them. The arbitrators, the lawyers, the agreement you signed. You have nothing to fear. Wall Street has everything to fear. Until next time.
Cast a good cast.